I'm burdened with this message that the Lord's given unto me, and that's I mentioned that to you Wednesday, and so I want to go ahead and get it delivered to you and get it off of my responsibility to us, and that we might consider and know and remember what we've been saved from. And so Wednesday, I started a series of messages, and maybe they'll go maybe one or two more. It's not a pleasant subject by any means, but it is a subject that is at hand. It's something that we are subject to be with the way the world is in these days, that we're subject to be influenced by. And so we're taking a look at what the Lord says about being mean. What does the Lord say about being mean? Proverbs 22:29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Again, in the way that we use the word mean, we're not talking about "this is what I mean by this." It's not that usage of it. It's an adjective. And we're talking about what the Bible would talk about, a word that the Bible uses is cruel. This reference here, Proverbs 22:29, that standing before mean men, the Hebrew of that word is speaking about being dark or blackened or dim, unpleasant. "He shall stand before kings." That's quite an exaltation. "He'll not stand before those who are cruel." In this, the Bible, when it uses that word mean, it's uses it mostly from the standpoint of being like in the middle, or mean from the standpoint of being of low estate, men of the baser sort, which are mean men. You know, Paul had those gathered against him. And so in our day, the definition of this word can mean unkind, or synonyms for it, spiteful or unfair, or vicious or aggressive in behavior. And so we don't need to be mean. We've been rescued from being mean. We took a look last time about why someone might be mean. It's not an excuse, but there are effects in life. We're naturally that way because of sin. And we're all sinners, and we've got it in us to be mean. Some are taught to be mean. That's all they know. That's what they've been taught. Others have been hurt, and therefore, to not be hurt again, they are mean. Some are jealous or envious or covetous. They do so over what they have or what they don't have. So they've got it, and they're mean to keep it. Or they don't have something that they want very much, and they're mean to get it. That's something that can certainly be. Others are mean because they're insecure. They live, they're in a continual state of validation of self. They're not comfortable being them. They're always worried about what everybody else is thinking and gotta have sanction and approval of others. As the Lord's children, we need to have a good witness in the world, but we need to get a hold of, we stand before our Lord. And as long as we are pleasing to our Lord, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. But some people are really tied up into that. What do others think about me? And worried about that very much. They got to validate themselves by showing they're stronger or smarter. They're stuck in that comparison game, that contrast game with others in their life. They're condemned by the well-doing of others around them rather than seeking to attain themselves. That's what happens when you're in this comparison game. You're always looking, or the person that's stuck in that is always looking at the other guy, trying to match up to them. It's kind of like being in a test and kind of guessing the answers because you don't know the material, rather than knowing what it is you're to do and pursue that, not worrying about what others think. They're condemned by the well-doing of others about them, or they're embarrassed before others, live in a continual, perpetual situation of embarrassment, embarrassed over this, embarrassed over that. And so that's the insecurity and validation part. And then there are those who are mean because they just want their own way. Just want their own way no matter what. And then there are those that are just conquerors, not meek, but they're just dominators. And through history, we have a litany, a list of people that were just that way. And if you evaluate some of them historically, you find out that there's other of these things that are in their lives, and strange doctrine about society and how society should be. You'll find things that they were influenced by in their life that would be from other parts of this list. But some are just conquerors. They're just going to dominate people. They got to have the one up, got to be on top. And then lastly, of the list that I put together here, some are mean just because they're able to be mean. They just can. They got it in them to do it, and they do it. But the thing is, you know, we're called to a thing. Just because we can do a thing doesn't mean we should do a thing. And so being mean. We took a look last time in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the last days, perilous days. And in this cycle, or if it is the last cycle, we do live in perilous times, and they are becoming more perilous day by day and week by week. And we went down through there and we saw all those different characteristics in 2 Timothy 3. We'll not read that again, but all those things line up there in what happens and what mean people pursue and do. Or if we would have a streak of meanness, what we would do. This afternoon, we want to take a look at Galatians chapter 5. And typically in my ministry, I've never, that I recall, have dwelt on the works of the flesh. But I'm impressed with the Lord to do so with this series of messages. I always like going on to the fruit of the Spirit, you know, because it's the works of the flesh that we've been saved from. But we're going to go down through here, and with the Lord's help, and I trust in a right way, be able to take a look at these works of the flesh that mean people, or those who would be mean, take up. This is how you are mean, okay? How one would be mean. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19, now the works of the flesh, which mean this is what naturally, what all of us have in us, okay? This is what you're born with, okay? This is in the genetics, all right? This is from the fall. This is what we got from Adam. The works of the flesh are manifest. They're shown forth. That's what that word manifest means. Which are these. Adultery, so that's going against the vows of marriage. Fornication, that's that intimacy that's reserved for marriage between a husband and a wife being pursued outside of marriage. Uncleanness, this is just sinful nastiness. Lasciviousness, that's an over, and all of sin we lust after it, James tells us, we desire after it. But there are things that are just forbidden in life. You just don't go there. Well, lasciviousness pursues after those. Idolatry, that's anything that comes between us and the Lord. Witchcraft, and so that's drug use. That is also things that are devilish, all the necromancers and sorcerers and all that the Lord warned Israel about. Hatred, that's one of them. That's a direct one there for those that are mean. Variance, that's another one. Emulations, another. Wrath is another. Strife is another of the mean and what they pursue. Seditions, that's another one. Heresies. Heresy is not the truth, against God. Other doctrine and other teaching. The mean have a doctrine that they teach, because as it tells us in Romans 1, the wicked like it when others are wicked around them. Okay. And so there is a doctrine taught by the mean. Envyings, there's one for the mean-spirited person. Murderers, yeah, there's the best right there for the mean person. Drunkenness, revelings, and then such like. There's some things that I want to mention about, it won't be in this message, but in messages to come, that we need to take a look at about what the Lord says about being mean. He says here, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's read that again. Of the which, this list of the works of the flesh, I tell you before, I've told you this before, I've told you in time past, I've told you before, I've told you in the past, that they which do, that live, this is the way of life, there is no other path, that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so this is the way of the wicked. This is the many of these things are the way of mean people. The first one we want to take a look at is hatred. And this word hatred, a synonym for it is hostility. Okay? A good thing to think about this, and we'll see that as we go forward in some examples from the scriptures, is to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ had all kinds of hostility toward him, didn't he, by the leadership in his day. And hatred, and think about it, the hostility towards the Lord was for speaking better than all of them because he spoke the truth without fail, telling what the Old Testament meant and how it applied to living life, healing on the Sabbath day, his notoriety for the truth. He had notoriety because he proclaimed the truth. Never man spake like this man. And so never man spake like this man. You want to go hear that man. Never a man healed like this man. So you want to go to this man and be healed of him. And then to the common people, to the what the leadership viewed as the offscouring, he was kind. He was hopeful. He offered salvation. And we need to remember that as we get to a certain point, as we look about aspects of being mean. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, they were hostile towards him. And that's what hatred does. It makes somebody just hostile towards someone. They start thinking about removing limits of treatment. Okay, and we'll deal with other things in that, but hatred. I've moved this section up, so we'll take a look about this immediately. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. So who's the perspective here? Well, this perspective is God looking on. And God said that fools make a mock about sin. Is sin real? It sure is. Is it serious? It sure is. Why is it serious? Because the God of heaven and earth, who created all things, and all things belong to him, has created us and given us life and given us instruction as mankind on how to live. And when we transgress what he has said, we are in defiance of his holy righteousness and command. It is the most serious business any person can be involved with in living. But you know what fools do? It's no big deal. What are you worried about? Sinning against God? No big deal. In our class, we talked about the third commandment. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. He'll not hold guiltless those that take his name in vain. You don't idly speak the name of God because He's that holy. Now, you know what? No one ever takes my name in vain. Nobody takes my name in vain, going around and idly saying Jim or James. Nobody does that. Why? I've got no horsepower to do anything to you. I've got no ability to touch you, or at the most I could give you a rebuke from my mouth, which would do nothing to anyone. But God can take and cast your soul into hell. Jesus said that. He's the one to be feared. And men, women, boys and girls, take God's name and say it idly. Will take and pursue in sin and disobeying God and what He's given us to obey Him in is a great, great offense to Him in every single case. He's just as offended at the first sin as He is the 10,000th sin. But fools say, no big deal. Got away with it yesterday. Got away with it this morning. Got away with it this afternoon. They make a mock at sin. See, God has threatened that He's going to judge sin. And you know what? He's threatened that. He's promised that. And fools make a mockery of the righteousness of God and His justice and judgment and condemnation towards sin. Fools make a mock at it. So here you've got the truth and you've got what's right. And they laugh. And they scorn, and they live, and they don't care, and they just pursue sin and iniquity and sins against God. And all the while it's stacking up against them, they make a mockery of it. They say, God's not going to judge me. God can't reach me. God doesn't even exist. Sin, what are you talking about, sin? Who is God that I should offend Him or would be even able to offend Him? The believers of evolution are in that say they've taken God and God's been pitched out, thrown out, and totally discounted in their hearts and minds. They make a mock at sin. Here we're going to deal with the mocking of the mean. And that, I think hatred is a key to this of mocking. Proverbs 17:5. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. Whoso mocketh the poor. Boy, you're having a hard time, aren't you? You know, you should have done better and get out of that ditch and that gutter where you're at. Boy, don't you wish you had a piece of this sandwich I'm eating here? I'm going to go home, sleep in my nice warm bed. Tell you what, you mock the poor. You make fun of the poor. You and I, if we do that, we're reproaching God, reproaching the poor's maker. We should be empathetic, sympathetic to the poor. And granted, sometimes the poor put themselves in that shape, but sometimes the poor are just in that shape, had no choice or no move of their own. Listen to this. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Delighting when something untoward comes about on another. They fall and laugh. They stumble or trip up, have a problem, fall down, hit their head, have a great thing happen in life. One man has another man as an enemy, and then something with that enemy of his happens to him. He's just filled up with glee because something happened to him. Glad at calamity. You should never be glad at calamity. And then in Luke, the Lord Jesus here, He speaks about, that we might understand about this hatred and one aspect of it, mockery. In Luke 14:29, the Lord talks about a man building something. And He says, less happily after he hath laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it, this building, and behold, and all that behold it, they see his inability to complete the project, begin to mock him. So they begin to make fun of him. He started to build, couldn't finish. He was really going on a big project there, and he just can't pull it off, can't pull it through. So this is a mockery. You know, to mock another person, you've got to have some real hard feelings towards them, don't you? You know? And that's the reason that I put this and dealing with this of mockery under hatred. Because you've got somebody else that's been made in the image and likeness of God, and because they've had a failing or they've had a trip up in their life, one would jump right on that and then begin to make fun of them or deride them or discount them in that. You know, we should not be found like that. That's mean to mock. It's mean to mock. Let us be careful that we do not. As I mentioned to you earlier, as we consider some of these things, if we consider Christ Jesus, and hopefully this will give us a better insight about the Lord Jesus. But what's the scripture say that about the Lord Jesus Christ and he being mocked? Matthew 20:19. Jesus is beginning to tell. Brother Stephen's been going through it, and he's been showing us where the Lord is ratcheting up and telling about what he's going to go to Jerusalem and do. The disciples, they just can't receive it. They have a hard time receiving it even after he's accomplished it. But the Lord opens up their understanding ultimately, and he's opened up ours that we might understand it and receive it, understand the purpose for it. But he begins to tell them, and he's told them, he says in Matthew 20:19, that the Son of Man will be delivered to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. You know, for them to do that to Jesus, they may have not had direct hatred towards him, but talking about discounting a life, they just had to discount him. You know, to treat somebody else, to be mean to another person, you've got to take them and discount them. You got to take them, and in your heart and mind, one's heart and mind, you got to take them and drive them down, saying that they are worthy of this hatred, this mockery driven towards them. And Jesus said he would be mocked, and we'll see more about that. They shall mock him and scourge him. He tells that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We go on in Matthew 27 and verse number 29, and when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. Here you go. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." I mean, somehow word got about that what Pilate had asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "You've said it right." He said, how was it that that went? But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this time or of this world. Otherwise, my servants would get up and fight. But he is a king. He admitted that he is a king. And he is the king, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And somehow this word got around from Herod to Pilate's guard soldiers, to where they had the idea to take and make a crown of thorns and jam it down on Jesus' head. And they're mocking him in that. It has been said, it's been confirmed, that he is a king. Well, let's put a crown on the king. That reed, well, any king ought to have a scepter, right? Any king ought to have a scepter. Give him a reed. Remember what they did with the reed? They took it away from him and hit him on the head with it. They mock him. Because no one for a true king would ever take their scepter away and hit the king with it. And then they took a purple robe and put on him. Matthew 27:29, and they platted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." You know, this lasted all the way to his cross and the inscription that was put over top of him. Right? Remember that? And so they don't believe he's a king, but they've discounted him. They hatred, discount, and they make a mock of him there in the praetorium. Verse 31 of chapter 27, and after that they had mocked Jesus, they took the robe off from him and put on his own raiment and led him away to crucify him. In chapter 27 there, Matthew, in verse number 41, it says there, likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. That's really the ultimate of the mocking, isn't it? The men that led Jesus, it tells us in Luke, those soldiers, they mocked him and kept hitting him as they held him and led him out there. Herod, he had been sent from Pilate over to Herod, and Herod and Pilate, who had been enemies, were made friends that day. Herod wanted to see the Lord. The Lord said nothing. And it says in Luke chapter 23 that Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And so, the back and forth, they both mocked him in that way. They mocked him. They offered him vinegar when, as he spoke, old second fermented wine. And then in Mark chapter 15, we have a sad but excellent summary. We read it there in Matthew. We'll read it here in Mark. Mark 15, verse number 29. And they that passed by Jesus on the cross railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. You know, he had said that at the beginning of his ministry, and they hung on to that all the way to 3 years later. Save thyself and come down from the cross. See, they're mocking him. He had indicated, indeed, that he was Savior, and many trusted in him, as we read over there in Matthew. And so they take them and they throw that back in his teeth. That's another thing, another way that the Scriptures tell it. It's thrown back in his teeth. He saved others, let him save himself. They're mocking him because they didn't believe that he could save anybody. But indeed, the testimony of many, of thousands, was that he did save them, save their soul. Save thyself and come down from the cross. Verse 31 of Mark 15. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King. Because see, they asked him point blank in the Sanhedrin. They said, are you the Christ? He said, you said it right. You said it right. Let the Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Remember the blind man? This one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Right? And they made a mock. They said, it's not true. This that he claims, it that these people claim, it's wrong, it's nothing. They make a big joke out of it. And they that were crucified with him reviled him too. So hatred. You know, to do what was done to Christ, they really, really had to hate him. And indeed, that's a work of the flesh. And let me ask you, child of God, do you want to be involved with hatred? We've been saved from that. You want to be involved with hatred? Tell you what, if you want to be involved with hatred, you need to check out your salvation and your soul before the Lord. We've been saved from hatred. And this right here, these things that I've read, are the end of that. You know, the saints have been, are, and will be mocked. It tells us in Hebrews 11:36, and others had trial of cruel mockings. You say the Lord's your Savior, let him save you out of our clutches now. Of course, the Lord chooses not to. Those people that died for the sake of the Lord and in centuries, years, centuries, and millennia gone by, they trusted in the Lord even unto death. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Over words, Christ was hated. Over words, indeed, his disciples have been hated, mocked. Hatred is what we've been saved from. That's what mean people do, is they hate and they mock. Listen to this. In Jude 17, the book of Jude, verse number 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own godly lust, mockers, in the last days. And they are those that walk after their own ungodly desires. These be they who separate themselves. They are sensual. All they know is what the body and what the mind operates in, having not the Spirit. Mockers, mockers of the truth, mockers of sin like the fool, mockers of the Lord like those even that day that took him and crucified him and dealt with him so shamefully. There will be mockers in the last days. We have mockers today, don't we? We sure do. And it's a thing indeed that we should want no part of. The works of the flesh. You know, it's not too pleasant, is it? It's not at all. I tell you what, it's an ugly picture. Back to our text here for this evening in Galatians 5. There's hatred that is the work of those that are mean. And then here, variance. And variance is talking about wrangling, quarreling. There are those that just like a good argument. If there's no argument going on, if there's peace in the valley, that just can't be tolerated. We got to have a wrangle. Got to have some contention. In our day, it's sometimes referred to as drama. Got to have some drama. Variance, contention, debate, and strife. You know, it's just not right unless it's wrong. What a miserable way to live. But you know, it's a sad thing because of the way life is and the way people are and the way things that happens because of sin and our depravity and all that. You know, people get programmed. They get programmed to where that's what they got to have for it to be stable, is chaos. And mean people like variance. They pursue after that. The next here is emulations. Not a word that we use, but in with this, it's speaking about heat or zeal. It's not just talking about having an opinion or having a thought or having a wicked way or pursuing after vengeance or variance or hatred. But with emulations, there's a zeal and a heat about it, a fierceness that we read about over in 2 Timothy. I mean, just like teeth barren, veins popped out on the neck. Indignation. You know, starting to take and emulations is starting to flirt with anger and wrath. And then next, indeed, we have here, well, in this emulations, one thing that I put underneath this, this zeal and this heat, someone gets so agitated about a situation. Maybe there's that mockery or that hatred in their heart about a thing, and they start name-calling. Name-calling. Remember how it was when we were kids, and you had that person in your class that got under your skin, and so then you'd think of a name to call them, and that just helped you? Bad names, bad words, get so angry at what they did or what they said that you had to call them a name. Not a good name, not their name, but name calling. Mean people call names. Come up with vile things to declare, to name others with. Emulations. That's what mean people do, is they name call. Next we have here in the list, hatred, variance, emulations, and wrath. And as you've heard me say, wrath is anger with legs on it. This is the action of anger. This is when things are starting to be done physically. And the synonyms for this word wrath here in the Greek is passion. Breathing hard. Yeah, you'll find this in wrath. Those that are wrathful are breathing hard. They got their hearts cranked up. Their heart is pounding in their chest and they're breathing heavy. They're fierce. Indignation is also a synonym, like it is with emulations. Many of these things overlap. Wrath. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're told about wrath and anger. And so understand, this is written to a church. This isn't written to the world, although the world can certainly have benefit from it. But this is written to a church. Ephesians 4, verse number 20. It says here, "But ye have not so learned Christ in this way of the world. If so be that you have heard him, are you saved? And have been taught by him." Have you been taught by the Lord? Are you saved having been taught by him? "As the truth is in Jesus." That's the only place the truth is. "That you put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." And so if you ever think about, when you and I think about going back and doing it the old way, understand that's the corrupt way. The corrupt desire, the deceitful desire. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind," kind of like Romans 12, "and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another," church. "Be ye angry and sin not." Sometimes we do get angry, but don't let it turn into sin. Don't make a mock of sin. Don't say, "Well, with what I'm angry about, and because it's me, it's justified." Be careful with anger. "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." It's not good whatsoever for wrath to go into nighttime. It's not good. It's not good at all. "Neither give place to the devil." Isn't that interesting? It's in the same sentence. It's in the same sentence. Angry and sin not. Sun got go down upon your wrath. "Neither give place to the devil," because in those things we will. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." You know, like that variance. "But that which is good to the use of edifying, to building up, that it may minister grace, gifts, help unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness," listen, "wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all revenge, with all malice. Put away malice too. Want to get back? It's natural for us being hurt that we want to get back. But we need to put it away from us. That's what the Lord says to this church in Ephesus and to us. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wrath, it's no good. Wrath is spoken about in Colossians to that church at Colossae. It's spoken to, spoken about also in James chapter 1. And we're going to stop right here for now. And Lord willing, we'll take it up next time whenever it seems to be right for us to take it up and deal with these things, what the Lord says about being mean. Don't be mean. As we read, I read you the passage, or we'll read it again. I will read it in James. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Doesn't do it. And there is judgment. There is judgment for being mean. The Lord is taking account of all things, and He has promised judgment for being mean. Proverbs 11:17, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. And Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You don't mess around with what God has said and think that you're going to get away with it. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sow meanness, going to reap the reward of meanness. May the Lord help us so we not be mean. Young people, you've got your life ahead of you, and you, by the instruction of the Lord and His Word, have got the opportunity and blessing to stay away from being mean. Don't be mean. Be like the Lord Jesus. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And He is the way and the blesser, the one that can bless with peace. With peace and joy. And He can take and He can work in a person to where there's no feeling, no desire to be mean, but to be like Christ. And I tell you what, that's the way to be. May the Lord help us indeed.